Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
All right, you're listening to Frank on Target, and this is WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting in Cottageville, South Carolina. Today, we're going to talk about AI, that's artificial intelligence, and we have John DelGazio. Am I correct with that, John?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. Hey, listen, Italian blood running through my veins worked kind of like. And Elaine Greenwood from Super Woke News, who can be found on X. And hello, Elaine.
Hello, Frank. And thank you very much, John, for joining us, because our audience, like a lot of people, we're just not familiar enough with AI, even though it's all around us and has been for several years now. But can you give us kind of an overview of your take on how beneficial it is to all humanity?
Yeah. First, can you kind of describe what it involves? Because, like I said, I'm a techno peasant. I hear AI, and I think I'm talking about a congressman or something, you know, or a vice presidential candidate, you know, artificial intelligence, you know. But tell us what AI really consists of, and that's first thing for me, I guess.
Well, AI is not magic. It is basically data plus hardware, which hardware I mean computers and servers and GPUs, and algorithmic insights. And effectively, what it is it's you're training mathematical models to learn probability distribution. So what's a probability distribution? It could be, what's your next word? Whether or not the image is a cat, whether or not the stock price will go up. These are all probabilities. They're not always certain, and they're based on context. And the probability is always between 0 and 1, where 0 means impossible, and 1 means certainly.
Can I add just a minute? John, doesn't that right away sort of build into it that the mob view of life is going to be amplified by AI content rather than a more accurate view of life? For example, AI will generate opinions about things based on the mob thinking about what's likely true.
Well, I think
that's probably true.
Yeah, and it goes back to the question that I had: what is the data source that AI uses to enter into the algorithm to generate the answer?
Well, these are great questions. And to answer Elaine first, yes, if you're training on the internet, it will reflect the internet to an extent, because those will be the more probable answers to questions, for example, or the more probable opinions that are promulgated. Mm-hmm. However,
I've experienced that.
You also have to keep in mind, though, that two factors can change that. One is that the models themselves are learning how to reason. This is called chain of thought prompting. When the models, after you train the models on internet data, you can continue to fine-tune it on chain of thought samples. And these are basically questions such as, you have 5 apples and you sold 3. How many apples do you have now? Well, if you give it a training set that'll just say 2 apples, it'll do okay. But if you give it a training set that'll have the reasoning steps, so it'll say, well, premise 1, you had 5 apples. Premise 2, you lost 2. Premise 3, 5 minus 2 equals 3. Conclusion, you have 3. If you give it a training set with those type of samples, that type of chain of thought reasoning, you find that the model actually learns how to reason and will do better on unseen data. So there's that concept, chain of thought reasoning. It can reason. So if the mob is saying something irrational, it should be able to detect it. And the IQs of these models continue to improve. The other concept that can change that is something called value alignment. Facebook or Meta showed in their paper YAMA 3 that just with a few tens of thousands of samples, you can have the model reflect the viewpoints that you want it to have. So you know how Genesis says man was made in the image of God? Well, you can think of this as building a demigod in the image of the AI tutor humans. It'll have the value.
Okay, so John, it's either going to have it's going to reflect back what I want it to say in the world that I want to be, and so that's very distinct from knowledge generally. So I guess AI is probably good at doing math because 2 plus 2 is always going to equal 4. But in terms of an opinion, an informed opinion about something, it's never going to be more than basically just the mob, what's put into it, factored, you know, with the influence of the mob's beliefs about whatever. So it's great. It's tremendous in some areas and very, very limited in others.
Elaine, what I'm interpreting John is saying is, as the sophistication of the AI increases, you can get a conclusion that is more accurate in the global realm, the more sophisticated that you program the AI. Is that kind of accurate, John, in layman's terms?
I think you have just the opposite truth. If you ask AI certain kinds of questions that involve IQ and life experience and wisdom, it's not there yet at all. So that people that would use it as a crutch for forming opinions, I think would be easily misled.
Let's, John, comment. Just comment.
So you're onto something there. Let me just preface. I'm going to say something a little bit disturbing. There is nothing a human can think that an AI cannot. There's nothing that, theoretically, there's nothing a human will say that an AI would not be able to predict you're going to say it. Since 1957, Kolmogorov's theorem, it has been shown that a neural network, that's the class of algorithms these are, a simple neural network with enough parameters, that means large enough, can model any probability distribution. And this is crucial. There's one point about AI people really need to understand with regard to its benefits and its risks. Any probability distribution can be modeled. The probability of the next word you're going to say, the probability of the next thought you're going to think.
Right.
All these cameras, all these microphones, our internet browsing is going to be connected to an intelligence far greater than any of our own. And so, so to answer your question, there's basically no wisdom that we can have that it can't have. Now, about its values and being misled, absolutely, people will be misled. 100%. This is a relatively conservative radio station. ChatGPT is not being value aligned by conservatives. You can prompt it, ask it questions that are... And so just like people rely on GPS and technology to get places in a literal sense, they're going to increasingly rely on technology to get to places in a philosophical, political, and religious sense.
I can't imagine doing that, but probably that's a reflection of my age. But because right now when I'm aware that this is a ChatGPT, for example, generated conversation, I'm out right away. It's flawed.
Good.
You know, so possibly now, though, it's still in something of its infancy and, you know, a couple years down the road, whatever. My other concern is pretty soon you'll have ChatGPT speaking only to ChatGPT because human beings no longer even create that kind of content and aren't interested in it and aren't even able to engage in it. And so what you've done is kind of effectively destroyed humanity because we're no longer even going to be – we're not attuned to what they're writing anymore. We're not even challenging ourselves to be able to produce that kind of content, and it's less and less relevant to us. And, you know, I have people that are involved in journalism, and they are using – they're relying on ChatGPT, and their product is discernible and predictable and often flawed because the ChatGPT doesn't yet – you know, there are errors of grammar, syntax, whatever context that ChatGPT doesn't grasp at this point. But what they're doing, I think, is creating a world where you just have ChatGPT writing to ChatGPT. And human beings, you know, it's like there will never be another Shakespeare or even another Pat Conroy, because there won't be the motivation within humanity to create that or to be that. So I don't know what we're going to be doing, just playing,
whether or not
just playing video games.
I don't know what we're going to be doing either. But whether or not there'll ever be another Shakespeare based on whether or not there's a human desire for Shakespeare is an interesting question. But whether or not there'll ever be a Shakespeare because AI is capable of producing it, I think the answer is unambiguously the AI will eventually be able to produce Shakespeare. I mean, even in the words you said, you often use the word yet, and that's a very good key word. So think about the hardware that powers the AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. But think about the hardware that powers AI. I mean, the cost for computation reduces by a factor of two about every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that means
no, so if I want to build a bridge,
it's 30 seconds the price.
But listen, if I want to do a laparoscopic hysterectomy or something, I want to build a bridge or I want a building that can be this many stories tall or not. But I want AI to do all the computations that we might error in making. Frankly, if I want somebody to design the electrical system for my home or the plumbing system, or maybe even decide where I want lighting fixtures in my home. But there's a point where I want that kind of wisdom to stay in its lane, and as a human being, I want to stay in mine. And I want to explore the novelty and the randomness of how flawed we are, rather than get sucked into this idea of perfection. You know, this thing that's so much smarter than I'm ever going to be, I'm not frankly interested in it. You know, because it's not even in a context that I can relate to it. Kind of like if there are in fact other forms of life out in the galaxy that are just infinitely wiser than we are, they're just not of concern to me in some, you know, it to a degree, because they're beyond anything I can experience, and so I want to stick to what I do enjoy and experience.
And I support that. I 100% support that. In terms of a societal impact. The people that embrace it will be able to produce more than the people that do not.
Of
and
something.
So here, and
it's
so
whether
here's,
we
here's
value
the
what they produce, I think. What?
Well, the fundamental theorem of informatics has two axioms. Axiom one is brain plus computer is greater than brain. And axiom two is that brain plus computer is also greater than computer. So the human AI fusion can have the benefits of the human mind with the benefits of the AI in theory. As the AI continues to improve, the benefits of the human mind component in that formula will continue to diminish. Just recently, a paper came out comparing diagnoses from ChatGPT versus a family practice doctor. Now, I am not giving medical advice with this sentence, and I am not a physician, and nor do I represent my employer, but it showed that ChatGPT by itself outperformed human doctors, but not only that, it outperformed human doctors using ChatGPT. There's a certain point where the AI gets so good.
Of course it did. And if you've attended medical school, you'll understand entirely why. And I'm going to bet that a ChatGPT psychiatrist outperforms any psychiatrist or psychologist.
Oh, let's stop with the psychiatrist. It's too subjective. Psychiatry is too subjective.
Oh, come on.
You know,
on. I have no problem with that. I'm not worshiping at the altar of the omniscient.
No. Let us keep this in the vein of internal medicine.
The ChatGPT, let's set ChatGPT aside because maybe we like something else better. Yeah, okay. That they're going to be superior to, there's just no question about it. That I have no problem with that at all. In fact, taking humanity out of diagnosing things, you know, taking the human being out of certain diagnostics might be a fabulous thing. I'm really not sure. If you could if you could take greed and other agendas out of healthcare, that might be an amazing thing.
Yeah, I think that's a topic for another discussion. But I think that the diagnoses with AI, the strength of it is that, you know, if AI is drawing from a database where there are diseases that occur in 5% of the males in Southeast Asia, and we have a doctor here in South Carolina who has had no exposure to any of these diseases, and somebody contracts some kind of disease that is incredibly obscure, I think the likelihood of AI picking it up because of their vast database, and that database being greater than the knowledge of the individual physician, I think that AI for a diagnosis would prove very positive.
That's right. As Elon Musk said, it's the collective intelligence of all of us in one spot.
All right.
If AI isn't factoring in, you know, the American Diabetes Association telling us that this is the protocol for treating diabetes when arguably, no, it's not. And, you know, the greed and the influence of Big Pharma and other influences on medical care, if AI eliminates that completely, yay, that's fantastic. But if AI just replicates what doctors are doing now, that's horrible, because all it's going to do is come across, it's going to be more sophisticated at browbeating you into believing that it's right when it's not. It's just simply more sophisticated than coming across as appearing to be right.
You're right. This is why we need competing AIs. We don't want too much centralized power in the hands of a few. The biggest threat with AI, we think, the benefits are tremendous. I believe in global warming. Maybe you don't. AI will be able to solve it. Cancer, solve it. Crime can be brought almost to zero. The benefits are just unimaginable.
Well,
however,
it's who has control. It's who has control of the AI. Now, I gotta disclose that I retired from Pfizer and some of the companies that ended up being Pfizer. And as long as Pfizer isn't putting the data, the source of the data has to be totally, totally uninfluenced by any kind of profit motive.
That's Walt Disney airy fairy land. That doesn't exist. We'd have to restructure knowledge. It's all been influenced by whoever's funding the research, basically, most especially, you know, in recent decades. So that's hard to do. That'd be great. Yeah.
You're right. That's why Elon Musk bought Twitter. He wanted the collective of the crowd. So if there's a very powerful profit source trying to set a narrative, you could have the collective wisdom of an uncensored crowd to profit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we're all in on... I thought Elon Musk bought X because I asked him to. I was pretty sure I sent him a private email. But sure, you're right. You're not. Were you about to say that we should each have our own individual? And correct me because I'm going to get this wrong. It's a certainty, but we should have our own individual AI rather than using a ChatGPT or Grok or whatever.
I absolutely believe in. We need to decentralize the models, and in particular, what does it mean? It means decentralizing data. So think about Ring cameras. If it's all connected to one source, you can't even leave your house anymore without that one source knowing where you are at all times. However, if it's different companies and that data is encrypted and it can't be queried by the government, well, then you have a great hedge against tyranny, because now you have something to help defend your property and something that can't be readily queried by a centralized database. Unfortunately, Ring can be centrally queried. We just saw that with the program they had with police departments across the country that the Electronic Frontier Foundation sued against. Police departments are no longer allowed to query Ring data, but they used to be. And just the fact that they were able to shows that the infrastructure is there Now, I don't want to go out too far, but another objective fact is the Snowden revelations. It showed that basically we can't trust our devices, especially if the data is not encrypted, that the government's willing to lie to us. This is objective. It came out. And so we have these cameras everywhere pointed out, no matter where we drive, connected to a company, Amazon, that has close contracts with the intelligence agencies. I don't think America's forefathers would approve of that.
At all. It wasn't even something they conceived of. You know, we don't have a right of privacy in our Constitution. It was left to the states to decide. But the challenges to our privacy...
Oh, whoa. What about the Fourth Amendment?
Exactly.
The right to searches and seizures, but that's not powerful enough. We should have had, you know, this is why, one of the reasons why Roe v. Wade needed to be overturned. Our right of privacy isn't well defined. It's not defined in the Constitution. Our right against unreasonable searches and seizures is, and our right to be just, you know, secure in our persons, places, and things. But our right of privacy also involves not being able to inject my body with a toxin that I think is unsafe, unproven, and ineffective. You know, so we never actually, at a federal level, we never amended the Constitution to say, here is the American citizen's right to privacy. You know, that, but that's where we got the penumbra of rights that was the basis of Roe v. Wade that eventually was just recently overturned and returned to the states to decide. But what I think is we need to think about what our privacy is being invaded in such a monumental way. It's just, you know, it's under assault ongoingly, and we're babes in the woods. We're not even, maybe it's just, it's happening so fast we can't keep up, but I also think we're getting numb. We feel that it's out of our control already.
This is very dangerous. You're right. But I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Listen, I'm terrified. Well, terrified because I have Alexa in my house.
I don't have a ringtone, and I wouldn't have a computer in my house telling me what to do. I don't even have Siri. I don't want. In fact, I didn't even turn on all the navigational devices for the phone. I don't, and I don't want notifications.
Good for you.
And I don't. But I'm not. So I'm baby steps ahead of. But the tsunami of control is terrifying, especially when you align it to a political agenda like the World Economic Forum's political agenda, and you say, holy cow, we're screwed. If we don't, we need to talk about this more. We need to understand what we're doing. We need to understand the strengths. I think we ought to embrace AI for the strengths and put some thought, maybe turn AI on how to... Maybe AI can resolve how we should protect ourselves from invasive AI. Hey, there's an idea. And then we can sit on the beach.
That's a great one. That's what we have to think about. We have to think about how to achieve its benefits without the tyranny, because we're rapidly, I don't want to project, but there's an imagined scenario, which doesn't seem far off, where you send something that's not approved and you can't open the door to your smartphone. And when I bring this up to other people, they say, have more faith in humanity. If that happens, humans will rebel. But how will we be able to rebel?
No, it's already happened. Yeah, you're not going to be able to rebel. First of all, if you can't associate, you can't rebel.
You exactly. Know? I mean, when your communications be cut off?
You're isolated. Whoever thinks that can't happen, you know... Just lose your power and your cell phone for a week, and you'll understand how isolated you are. You know, we are so vulnerable because of what we're dependent upon, and I think that possibly there are a couple of generations that think this will always, you know, that their safety, the life that they live, will always be protected by somebody, some super being, maybe it's a government entity, that simply does not exist. Nobody is protecting you and your sovereignty over your body and your sovereignty over your political point of view and your sovereignty over, you know, other freedoms that we think we are entitled to. So let's turn AI onto solving the problem. There we go. Let's turn AI onto solving the problem of getting the World Economic Forum completely out of our lives, any influence they have. There we go.
That's what we can do if we decentralize it. That's right, Elaine. That's what we can do if we decentralize it.
How do we do that?
We're in trouble.
Okay, so so specifically, what does that mean? We fund local AI centers, or we support innovators who are going to compete, or we support legislation that allows open competition?
All of the above. All of the above. I think it has to come from an awareness of just how dangerous this is. That's why we have to approach this with humility and admit that Hollywood sometimes gets it right. That's the beauty of movies like The Terminator and The Matrix. I know that sounds not sophisticated, but if we're humble, there is a lot of wisdom in those movies.
And humble is good.
People need to be, so that respective experts in their domains can bring up ideas, like you mentioned. There has to be a will of the masses to realize how dangerous this is, which is why I'm doing this phone call, to be honest.
Oh, then we support you 100%. I think that I speak for Frank, even without asking. We would love you to come back once a week, once a day, however often you think it's necessary. Well, here's the deal. God gives us challenges, and that means we have to get to work and step up and meet those challenges. And maybe it means letting go of previously held ideas or previously held, you know, cherished beliefs or ways of being. And maybe it means being a little less intellectually lazy and a little more demanding of ourselves. But we're able to meet those challenges, and they're probably good for us when we attempt to meet them. So, you know, I think that's, you know, Frank's wanted to do this kind of topic for a long time. I know that. Well, so Frank, where'd you go?
I just have to tell you that we're drifting off of the topic of AI, but we are touching the soul of humanity right now. You know, you've heard of this concept of man and melding man with machine, all right?
Yeah, absolutely,
And what's the term for it?
Transhumanism.
Yes, transhumanism. Now, people think about transhumanism and they think about sophisticated ways of having computers implanted or man melding with computer. Guys, yeah. we gave in to transhumanism voluntarily. All right? I walk around with a cell phone that's more powerful than putting a man on the moon. All right? And I rely on it every day. And do I get my lumpy butt up and go and look at the thermometer outside the window so I know what to put up? Hell no. I ask my phone, how cold is it outside? All right? We're transhumans now. We're transhumans now. Now, just how do we protect ourselves from losing our humanity, from losing our individuality and our sovereignty? I think that's the issue.
We have to be afraid of death.
Guys, one at a time. I'm moderating.
We have a light. No,
I'm moderating here.
There's no light, and we can't see each other, so there's not the, you know, there's facial cues, like you raise an eyebrow or lift a finger and stuff. We're doing real well here. I'm not complaining about this, but you want us to be less afraid of death? I'm staring death in the face every day, so death, you know, bring it on. I'm there. Everything's in order. I'm ready to go. The only request I have is, do not resuscitate me, okay? If I'm gone, I'm out of here.
Oh, don't say it that quick. Don't say that that quick. I called my buddy. from high school the other day, and I called his house phone, and then I called his cell phone, and I got an answer on neither one. And he called me back, and he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't answer my phone because I was dead last week." I said, "What do you mean you were dead last week?" He said, "Well, I walked outside and I got on the gurney because he had some heart stuff going on, chest pains that he was unaware of. He walked outside, he laid on the gurney, and the next thing he remembers is he was in the hospital. And his wife rode in the ambulance with him. His wife is a nurse. And she said, She knew what was happening when they pulled the ambulance over to the side of the road and they heard him, they heard the ambulance attendants, the paramedics, calling his name.
We'll be right back with more from Frank on Target after these messages.